Tabernacle Presbyterian Church presents Sunday with Tab. Tabernacle Presbyterian Church, located at 34th and Central in Indianapolis, welcomes you to Sunday with Tab. Today, Pastor Bill Smoots delivers the message entitled, Even Jesus. We'll also have music from the Sanctuary Choir. So join us now from Tabernacle Presbyterian Church for Sunday with Tab.
Friends, we gather to worship the God who is above us, beneath us, around us, and within us. But even in our gathering, we know that there are burdens and things that prevent us from fully immersing ourselves in worship and receiving the love that is abundantly poured out for us. And so together as a congregation, we have the opportunity to bring confession before God, to ease ourselves of the burden and open ourselves to receiving all of the good news, all of the grace, and all of the love that God has in store for us this and every day. So let us together confess using the printed prayer of confession in your bulletin. Gracious and patient God, wherever our will crosses your will, forgive us. Where our will to violence crosses your will for peace. Where lying and corruption crosses your will for truth. Where greed and possessiveness cross the responsible use of your plenty. Where ugliness and disease cross your will for beauty and well-being, forgive us. Where we live not for others, but only for ourselves, leave us not alone. Forgive us and forever grant us the transforming gift of Jesus. Friends, when we call these words of Scripture to mind, they give us hope. That is this: the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases, and His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning, and great is God's faithfulness. This is good news for us. This is the hope and promise of our Lord Jesus Christ. And in Him, we are forgiven and freed to live in love. Amen.
Let us now stand together and state something of what we believe. We believe that God is present in the darkness before dawn, in the waiting and uncertainty where fear and courage join hands, where conflict and caring link arms, and where the sun rises over barbed wire. We believe in a with us God who sits down in our midst to share our humanity. We affirm a faith that takes us beyond the safe place into action, into vulnerability, and into the streets. We commit ourselves to work for change and put us on the line, to bear responsibility, to take risks, to live powerfully and face humiliation, to stand with those on the edge, to choose life and be used by the Spirit for God's new community of hope. Amen.
Oh,
Our gospel reading this morning is from John's Gospel, chapter 12, reading verses 20 through 33. Now, among those who went up to worship at the festival were some Greeks. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and said to him, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Philip went and told Andrew. Then Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus. Jesus answered them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly, I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Those who love their life lose it, and those who hate their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, there will my servant be also. Whoever serves me, the Father will honor. Now my soul is troubled. And what should I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, it's not for this reason that I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven, "I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again." The crowd standing there heard it and said that it was thunder. Others said, "An angel has spoken to him." Jesus answered, "This voice has come for your sake, not for mine. Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be driven out. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." He said this to indicate the kind of death he was to die. This is the word of the Lord.
Our gospel lesson takes place in the faithful chaos and confusion of the city of Jerusalem at Passover. But Jesus' Jerusalem debut isn't as big a deal for John, the gospel writer, as what comes next, which is where our gospel story begins. All sorts of people have, like Jesus, come to Jerusalem for the Passover observance. Most are devout Jews who have come to worship in the temple, but some who have gathered in Jerusalem are what we today would call spiritual seekers. Religious seekers, those who've heard that Jerusalem at Passover is the right place to be for a cool spiritual experience. Some of these seekers are labeled Greeks. Now, Greeks in the New Testament needs to be understood as foreigners, as non-Jews, not just people who come from the country of Greece. These Greek seekers find one of Jesus' disciples and ask if they can meet Jesus. That non-Jews have heard about Jesus, that they actually want to meet him, is significant in two ways. First, this request is a sign that Jesus' message of compassion and love and of all people having value, that this message is being talked about, not just within Judaism, but it's being talked about in other corners of the world as well. It is drawing wider interest. Remember that Jesus said the two commandments are to love God and to love neighbor. And this statement, this belief, this attitude of Jesus is attracting attention. The second thing this outsider interest in Jesus lifts up is the reality that Jesus' message is meant for everyone, Jew and non-Jew alike. Through Jesus, God is declaring that all people are God's chosen people, without exception. And in Jerusalem at Passover, God's inclusiveness, well, that's a pretty radical declaration, as radical as Jesus embracing the title Messiah is. God's inclusiveness remains a pretty radical high bar even in our day. given all the divisions that we know in our city, in our country, in our world, racial divisions, economic divisions, political divisions, spiritual divisions, national divisions, wealth divisions, medical divisions, fact versus fiction divisions, and on and on and on. Given all these divisions, Jesus' announcement of God's inclusiveness is a challengingly radical declaration, making who we are as followers of Jesus, as disciples of Jesus, making us radicals as well, even in this day and time. And this is a reality that makes some of us, many of us, uncomfortable. With these Greeks requesting FaceTime with Jesus, it seems like his ministry is at a turning point, or might be at a turning point, where Jesus and his message are about to explode out into all the world beyond the bounds of Israel. But this is not what happens next in our lesson. Instead of the gospel of God's love expanding outward, it actually implodes inward a bit. Jesus receives the request of the Greeks from the disciples, but instead of offering a yes or no response, I want to see them, no, I don't, Jesus launches into an odd monologue about it being time for the Son of Man to be glorified and of the need for a grain of wheat to be planted and then die before it can bear more grain, and about how those who love their life must first lose it, and about the need for disciples to follow Jesus and to serve him wherever he goes. The first time I read through this text, I was tempted to label Jesus' rambling words as nonsensical, for they do not seem to fit the context of what is going on around Jesus. It's like this is happening over here, and Jesus is speaking way over here. But as I reflect upon the larger story in which our lesson is set, I've come to believe that it is personal anxiety that is driving Jesus' monologue, is driving all his words here. And we remind ourselves at this point that our Lenten sermon series is about anxiety. The anxiety that Jesus' journey to Jerusalem caused for the Romans, the Pharisees, his disciples, for himself as well, and how our reflections on that journey and their anxiety might help us deal with our anxiety in the here and now, in the present. I see this particular story in John's gospel as one of those places where Jesus' humanness is most front and center, where he is that fully human part that so relates to us. And when we see his humanity so visible, I think we need to pay attention to what Jesus says as well as what he does, because his humanness has real-time implications for how we live our lives, how we practice our faith, how we are a community of disciples. And so I invite us to listen with our ears, but mostly to listen with our hearts. In our lesson, Jesus is a stressed individual. He's trying to live and behave as he believes God wants him to. But there is an emotional toll and a social price to be paid for such devotion. Jesus is pretty isolated from the people around him. The text says that when the Greeks come and say, "We'd like to speak with Jesus," the disciples have to go find him. They don't know where he is. And then his continued rambling about how he should respond to the hour before him suggests that Jesus is also feeling some isolation even from God. Certainly God does provide some public words of support at the end of our lesson. We'll get to that in a few minutes. But before those words come, we all know how anxiety works on an individual, how anxiety works on us. Jesus' anxiety has been building for weeks over all the time of his journey toward Jerusalem. And as he finally enters Jerusalem at Passover, Jesus is wound up pretty tightly. In the very last sentence of our lesson, John reminds us of the source of Jesus' anxiety, that Jesus' impending death is looming over all his words and actions. Because Jesus is so humanly vulnerable in this story, so like us in our humanity, in our vulnerability, I believe that we can draw some parallels between his behavior and our behavior today. For most of our deepest seated anxieties, at least I believe, are related to our fears, and often fears around a sense of abandonment. As I mentioned a couple of weeks ago, our fears of abandonment often come from early in life experiences. Experiences that stay with us, experiences that shape our behaviors, even when they're not in the forefront of our minds. Because of these deep fears, all of us, in every setting, at some level, all of us want others, those around us, to help us feel more secure, to feel calmer, to feel satisfied, to feel happy, to feel whatever we need in that moment. And I believe Jesus is stuck in this emotional place. For all his rambling words seem to be expressing a sense of abandonment and of him wanting someone, anyone, to help him escape his present anxiety with some words of encouragement, some words of love and hope. The voice of God that erupts from heaven near the end of our lesson is something we must not miss. For while God's voice itself does not provide any specific answers for how one is to move beyond anxiety, just the fact that God is present reassures Jesus that he is not completely alone, that he is not alone, and that he will never be totally abandoned to those who want to kill him. And this is precisely the place where I think this story hits most at home for us. Whenever our anxiety is chewing us up individually, chewing us up in our family systems, chewing us up in our work, chewing us up culturally, even chewing us up as a congregation these days when we're facing a future that is a bit more unknown than we might like. Just as God's voice reminds Jesus that he is never alone, so God's presence reminds us that we are never completely alone, that we are never completely abandoned to our anxieties or to the forces of this world. God's presence reminds us that anxiety may last for a moment, even a moment that seems like it is going on forever, but that our anxiety ultimately does not have control of us and does not have to define us, does not control us or define us individually, corporately, if only we will trust. Trust that the God who promises never to abandon Jesus is the very same God who promises never to abandon us. Jesus says that the words that came from heaven, those words from God, are not from him, but for the rest of us who need them to believe. He may be right, but I believe this statement is a bit of bravado on Jesus' part. In his humanness, Jesus needs to know just as much as we do that he is always loved and that he will never be abandoned. And it is this never-ending love on God's part and its promise in those words which allow Jesus to stay engaged in the world and allow Jesus to stay focused on his purposes for God in the world. And it is these words that remind us that God is constantly beside us as well, allowing us to lay down our anxieties, allowing us to lay down our fears as individuals, as a community, allowing us to seek a new life, a transformed life, which God desires for us. For our spiritual homework this week, I invite us all to think about and then work on one or two very practical ways to lay down our anxieties and fears before God. One or two ways that will help us clear our minds and clear our hearts from our worries and from what is making us afraid, so that we can focus on and then act on the purposes and priorities of God that God has created us for, that God is constantly calling us to. Especially God's declaration of radical inclusivity through Jesus, that all people are God's chosen people without exception. Now, Jesus prayed a lot, and this approach, prayer, I think is suggestive to us for how we begin to work spiritually on our anxiety. Jesus also engaged with others a great deal, even in the midst of his anxiety, engaged with them through talking with them, through feeding them, through healing them, through trying to address their needs any way he could. And when Jesus is about trying to do what he believes God wants him to do, well, then Jesus is never focused on abstract ideals or esoteric theological conversation. He's not even focused on himself. But instead, Jesus is all about making a practical and tangible difference in the lives of those whom God loves, which, as John reminds us, is everyone, everywhere. Jesus' tangible difference are food for hungry people, compassion for those who feel lost, grace for those who feel unworthy, and hope for all of us who are drowning in despair. As we try to lay down and let go of our anxieties, Jesus is a faithful guide for us. My friends, we have choices to make this day, to make every day. Choices that we can make frantically, that we can make in the midst of anxiety that is paralyzing us, or choices based on our trust that God is constantly surrounding us, that God is continually providing a future for us, especially in those times when death seems imminent. Even Jesus can be overwhelmed, but he trusts that in God, he will never be defeated. And so our invitation on this day is to that same trust for today, the same trust for forever. Amen.
You're listening to Sunday with Tab, a production of Tabernacle Presbyterian Church in Indianapolis. We hope you have found inspiration and comfort in today's program. There are many ways to enjoy today's message again. Subscribe to the TAB Podcast on your favorite podcast app, or go to tabpres.org, tap on the graphic marked Sermons, and select the sermon you wish to hear. While there, you can also view the entire worship service. We invite you to join us for worship this morning at Tabernacle Presbyterian Church. We're located at the corner of 34th Street and Central Avenue in Indianapolis. At 8 a.m., we have a communion service in the chapel. And at 10 o'clock, a beautiful worship service in the sanctuary. The 10 o'clock service is also live streamed on our YouTube channel, Tab Indy. For all information on the services and streaming, go to tabpres.org. That's tabpres.org. Thanks for listening, and join us next week at the same time for Sunday with Tab.
Hi, my name is Karen Morrell, and I'm a member of Tabernacle Presbyterian Church. I've been blessed to have many role models guiding me on my faith journey. I've always wanted to serve and help others, and TAB makes this easy by offering many outreach opportunities in our community. This has helped me find a purpose to use my God-given gifts to help others grow and thrive. Through worship, Bible study, serving meals, tutoring, and women's ministries, I've connected with others and received a sense of belonging and purpose. TAB is a place where you can connect and serve. I'm Karen Morrell, and I invite you to come and see for yourself.
Tabernacle Presbyterian Church, 34th Street and Central Avenue in Indianapolis, invites you to worship Sunday morning at 8 or 10 a.m. If you can't make it in person, tune in to Sunday with Tab, Sunday mornings at 6:30 on WIBC, or find us online at tabpres.org.